Welcome to True Crime with Lux.
We may never know who the Axemen of New Orleans was, but we do know the terror they caused to the residents. From May 1918 to October 1919, New Orleans, Louisiana was terrorized by an unidentified person. He took his first victim on May 23, 1918. Joseph Maggio, an Italian grocer, and his wife Catherine were at their home on the corner of Upper Line and Magnolia Street when the killer broke in and cut their throats with a straight razor. Catherine had been cut so deeply that she was nearly decapitated. The killer then took an axe to both of them. It was theorized the axe attack was to cover up the straight razor cuts. The killer wrote a message on the sidewalk before leaving that read, "Mrs. Maggio will sit up tonight, just like Mrs. Tony." It is believed this was referring to the death of Anthony and Joanna Ciambra, who were attacked in 1911. Joseph didn't die immediately. He was still alive when his brother, Jake and Andrew, discovered the crime scene. Joseph died soon after they arrived. Police found the clothes the killer wore inside the home, leading them to believe the killer changed before leaving. The scene wasn't properly searched at the time, but a few days later, the blood-stained razor was found on the neighbor's lawn. It was found to belong to Joseph's brother Andrew, who owned a barber shop. Joseph had taken the razor to have it repaired. The police made Andrew the prime suspect when they questioned him if he had heard anything since he lived in the apartment next door. Andrew stated that he was intoxicated and hadn't heard the attack. He was released when the police couldn't find any flaws in his statement. On the morning of June 27, 1918, Luis Bezumer and his mistress, Harriet Lowe, was attacked while in the back room of his grocery store. Luis was struck with a hatchet above his right temple, and Harriet was hit over her left ear, leaving half of her face paralyzed. They were found the next day by a delivery driver, John Zanka, who was making his routine bakery drop-off. They were both still alive. The police found the axe in the bathroom, and it was found to belong to Luis. In his statement, Luis said he was sleeping when he was attacked and didn't see the attacker. Police arrested Louis Avicon, who had recently been hired at the store. They had no evidence against him, but stated he had conflicting statements of his whereabouts. He was later released when they could not prove he had anything to do with the attack. They thought robbery could be the motive, but there was nothing missing from the store. Over the next few weeks, Harriet began telling the media false statements about the attacker, and Luis even saying that he was a German spy. In August, while on her deathbed, she told police that it was actually Luis who had attacked her. He was arrested and served 9 months for her murder before being acquitted. August 5, 1918, Anna Schneider, who was 8 months pregnant, woke up to find a man standing over her. He began to hit her in the face with a lamp from her side table and then fled. Her husband, Ed Schneider, found her when he returned from work and she was taken to the hospital. She survived and gave birth to a healthy baby girl. Police questioned Ed if there was anything missing from the home. He said there was a few dollars in his wallet missing, but that was the only thing taken. Anna couldn't remember the attack. Police arrested ex-convict James Gleason, believing he was the attacker, but soon released him due to lack of evidence. Investigators started to think that all of the attacks were related and done by one person. August 10, 1918, Pauline and Mary Bruno were awakened by a noise coming from their uncle Joseph Romano's room. When they went to check it out, they found him on the floor with cuts on his head and a man fleeing the scene. They were able to see it was a dark-skinned, heavy-set man in a dark suit and slouched hat. Joseph was taken to the hospital but died of his injuries 2 days later. Police found the house had been ransacked, but nothing was missing. The axe was in the backyard and the back panel of the door had been chiseled off. The latest murders had the residents in fear, and the police started receiving claims of people seeing the axemen in their neighborhood. A retired detective, John D'Antonio, started making public statements about the axemen, describing him as having dual personalities and killing without a motive. He said the person could very likely be a normal law-abiding citizen who was overcome with the desire to kill, later describing him as a real-life Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. March 10, 1919, Charles Cormiglia, his wife Rosie, and their infant daughter Mary were attacked. Charles and Rosie both had skull fractures from the axe, and little Mary was in her mother's arms with a blow to her neck. A neighbor heard the attack and rushed over, finding them the attacker was gone. Police found the axe in the backyard, and the panel on the back door was removed. Charles and Rosie were taken to the hospital, where 2 days later Charles was released, while Rosie remained in the hospital. When she woke up, she claimed the neighbor who had heard the attack and rushed over, Luarlando Giordano, was actually the one who attacked them with the help of his 18-year-old son, Frank. However, due to Frank being 6 foot and 200 pounds, police didn't think he was the attacker because he wouldn't fit through the back door panel. His father was 69 and in poor health at the time. Even with that, and Charles denying they were the attackers, police still arrested them and charged them with murder. Frank was sentenced to hang, and his father was given life in prison. Charles divorced Rosie after the hearing, knowing she was lying. A year later, she admitted the false accusations, and they were released. There was a letter on March 13th in the newspaper believed to be from the Axeman, saying he would kill again 15 minutes past midnight on March 19th, but would spare the occupants of any place that had a jazz band playing. The exact letter said, "Hell, March 13th, 1919. Esteemed mortals, they have never caught me, and they never will. They have never seen me, for I am invisible, even as the ether that surrounds your earth. I am not a human being, but a spirit and a demon from the hottest hell. I am what you Orleanians and your foolish police call the Axemen. When I see fit, I shall come and claim other victims. I alone know whom they shall be. I shall leave no clue except my bloody axe, besmeared with blood and brains of he whom I have sent below to keep me company. If you wish, you may tell the police to be careful not to rile me. Of course, I am a reasonable spirit. I take no offense at the way they have conducted their investigations in the past. In fact, they have been so utterly stupid as to not only amuse me, but His Satanic Majesty, Francis Joseph, etc. But tell them to beware. Let them not try to discover what I am, for it were better that they were never born than to incur the wrath of the Axemen. I don't think there is any need of such a warning, for I feel sure the police will always dodge me, as they have in the past. They are wise and know how to keep away from all harm. Undoubtedly, you Orleans think of me as a most horrible murderer, which I am, but I could be most worse if I wanted to. If I wished, I could pay a visit to your city every night. At will, I could slay thousands of your best citizens, for I am in close relationship with the Angel of Death. Now, to be exact, at 12:15, earthly time, on next Tuesday night, I am going to pass over New Orleans. In my infinite mercy, I am going to make a little proposition to your people. Here it is. I am very fond of jazz music, and I swear by all the devils in the nether regions that every person shall be spared in whose home a jazz band is in full swing at the time I have just mentioned. If everyone has a jazz band going, well then, so much the better for you people. One thing is certain, and that is that some of your people who do not jazz it out on that specific Tuesday night, if there be any, will get the axe. Well, as I am cold and crave the warmth of my native Tartarus, and it is about time I leave your earthly home, I will cease my discourse. Hoping that thou wilt publish this, that it may go well with thee, I have been, and will, be the worst spirit that ever existed, either in fact or realm of fantasy, the Axeman." That night, the city's dance halls were filled to capacity, and bands played jazz music all over the city. There were no murders that night. The next attack was on August 10th. Steve Boko woke to a figure in his bedroom before being hit with an axe. When he regained consciousness, he ran outside to see who the intruder was and discovered he was bleeding. He made it to the neighbor's house before passing out. Again, the back door panel had been chiseled off. Steve recovered but couldn't remember anything that happened that night. Sarah Lawman was attacked on September 3rd in her apartment. She was found by neighbors with a severe head wound and some of her teeth had been knocked out. She was taken to the hospital and survived, but wasn't able to remember anything. The last murder was on October 27th. Mike Pepitone was found by his wife, who saw the attacker fleeing the house. Mike had been struck in the head with an axe and died from his wounds. His wife was unable to give the police any information on the attacker, saying she couldn't see what he looked like, just that he was holding an axe when he fled the scene. There have been many theories and suspects through the years, but the Axeman has never been identified. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please like and share it with your friends. Stay safe, and I'll be talking to you next week.